First Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians, please, for another scripture. Chapter 4, verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with them. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. One more, please, in Hebrews chapter 4. The book of Hebrews, chapter 4. Verse 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. What I'm thinking about tonight for a few minutes at the beginning of the meeting is the coming of the Lord. It seems that it's something that doesn't grip us the way it used to. I remember when we used to go away from a conference in Nova Scotia many years ago, after listening to those venerable old men that could take the word of God and make it simple even for a boy. And we'd be going along after the conference and looking up and wondering, is he coming today? An old man used to go out in the morning and he'd look up into the heavens and he would say, well, he didn't come to last night. Maybe he'd be here before the night. At night time, before he went to bed, he would go out again, look up into the starry heavens and say, well, he didn't come today. Maybe he'd be here before the morning. Watching and waiting was the way he was looking at it. But it seems to me that I'm looking at myself now, maybe you're not this way, but I'm looking at myself now, and it doesn't seem to stir my soul like it used to. It doesn't seem to grip me the way it used to. The coming of the Lord, and it has to be imminent. It has to be close by. As you look around, we're not looking for signs. That wouldn't be proper for us to do that. But you can't help but see some of the signs in the horizon for the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ, especially his coming to the earth. Now his coming to the air has to be before that. So if his coming to the earth is signs of that coming already, how close his coming to the air must be. I'm sure most in our meeting understand that there is the two aspects, the two stages of his coming. That is, he's coming to the earth in a coming day, to reign over this world for 1,000 glorious years. But before that, he's coming to the earth for his people to take them out of this world and to release them from the great tribulation. So in the meantime, here we have brought before us the coming of the Lord. And I want you to think first of all of when he's coming. It says in the last trump, he's coming. Now what's the last trump? Well, they tell me it's a military word. And in the olden days, when the men were marching, the time would come when they would blow a certain sound in the trumpet. The men knew that now we're moving out, and so it was the idea was for them to get together and get the tents down and get things padded. Another trumpet would sound, and that would mean that they would get into line and get into formation and so on. But when the last trump was sounded, they were on the move. Out. To the next place. He says the last trump. Now the trumpets have been sounded. The gospel trumpet has been sounded now for 2,000 years, as far as our condition is concerned. The trumpets were blown away back in the Old Testament too. But what I'm thinking of as far as the church age is concerned, the trumpets of the gospel have been preached over and over again. And now, especially in this last few years, the last couple of hundred years, especially, the gospel has been going forth into all the world. The last trumpet just about to be sounded. And when the last trumpet sounded, every last Christian, those that have gone on before and now are in the grave, their bodies smoldering, and many of them gone to dust, those bodies will be raised first of all. Then we which are alive and remain will be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. So what is happening is that when he comes at the last trumpet, then the greatest triumph for the Christian is this. Everything, this whole world will know about it, will understand it. It'll likely be going across the paper. It'll likely be across the television screen. But the point is this. Every last person who has been born into the family of God, whether they've gone before or whether they're still alive, will be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. What a moment that will be. There was an old man. Well, he was elderly. A godly man, preaching in Toronto one time. He was a big man. He was staying with this widow woman, who was a Christian. She had been enjoying his ministry for a couple of weeks, and now the ministry's over, and he's leaving. So he packed his bags, and he took them out to the gate, waiting for the bus to come along. She went out with him, and was standing for 2 moments, but he couldn't hear him, no. She couldn't even see. She was blind. But she was a Christian that could understand the Word of God and so on. So now, here they are standing, just waiting for the bus to come along. And all of a sudden, he'd been speaking about the coming of the Lord the night before. And she just did this. She couldn't tell him. But what she was saying was, me, you, really, you will fly away. What a moment that will be. My dear friend, I want to tell you, this business of being saved is a reality. It's something that's real. It's something that a person can look forward to. Not only in this life, it's far better in this life. It's far better for the pocketbook. It's far better for the health. It's better in every way in this life, and to think that when we come to the end of the journey, it's heaven home. Now let's just look at the chart for a minute. There it is. People that have gone through the store and gone on, some of them have come to the arms of death, and their bodies smoldered in the grave, but their soul has gone to heaven already. But when this takes place, we which are alive and remain will be caught up together. Now take another look. See that door there? Maybe it's too far away for some of the fact, But that door is supposed to be wide open. Although it almost looks like it's closed, but it's not. It's wide open, and the word comma is the same door. The same door
after it.
Door shut. I want to say as I'm going by right now, in case there's somebody here that has the idea that they're going to have a second chance, and that's going across around in some place circles today, I want to say to you very emphatically and yet tenderly, there's no second chance for the Christian side. There's no second chance for anyone that's heard the gospel. How do you know? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. God will send them strong delusion, that they will believe a lie, that they all might be damned. Why? Because they believe not the truth. Should I say it tenderly? My friend, if you're not going to get saved, the better you've never heard the gospel. Because once the Lord comes, the day of salvation is over, as far as anyone that's ever heard John 3:16. I don't think it's so much that God is making them believe a lie. It's more the idea the Spirit of God was gone. The light is gone. And now they're left for this. Left for the lie.
And they'll accept.
Isn't it sad to think that our boys and girls, our own kith and kin, will actually one day bow to an image? Those that are living today, if the Lord comes shortly, will actually bow to an image. Will actually believe a lie, see? Tonight you wouldn't do that. Tonight you say, well, I know very well that Christ has died on the cross. I know very well that there's a salvation. I know that He would save me and all that. You believe all that, yes. You would not believe the lie of the devil that it's better on going on in your sin. You wouldn't take that in. But the day is coming, my friend, I want to say it emphatically and yet tenderly, that if you do not just say, the day will come when you'll actually bow before Him. My son-in-law said to me one time, he says, oh, I know that when the man of sin arises, he'll make everybody take the mark of the beast or else they'll be killed. He says, I know that He's coming, so I won't take the mark of the beast. I said, Gerald, give your head a shake. You don't know what you're talking about. You got 2 little girls here. And you don't have any more bread in the house right now than enough to keep you going for 2 or 3 days. And if the Lord was to come and the man of sin was to arise, He would make it so that you couldn't find a cell without the mark of the beast. How long are you going to allow those 2 little girls to cry for a crumb of bread before you give in and go and take it? But I said, not only that, God will send strong delusion that you will believe His lie, that you will be damned. Why? Because you believe not the truth. You know the truth. And as those that are here tonight, and you know the truth of God, that there is salvation. You know the truth of God, that you're a sinner. You know that there's a heaven and a hell. You know all that. That's the truth of it. But you won't believe it. Therefore, He's going to get strong delusion that they'll believe a lie instead. What for? So they'll be there. He's coming at the last rock. I want you to think for a minute, who's coming? Who's coming? The Lord Jesus. I'm so thankful for that. You know, I'm so much of a skeptic, I would almost be afraid that maybe if He was sending Michael, He might forget me. Or he might pass me by. But He's not coming. The Lord Himself. The Lord Himself. Do you know one reason why I'm thankful that? That's the reason I went, yeah, you read it, didn't you? Hebrews 4. That's one of the reasons that we have a great high priest who already has passed
ruler of heaven. That's the idea. He's already gone up to them. The very air above us is charged with demons. Ephesians chapter 2. And there we are. The devil is the power of the air. He has dominion over this whole globe. And the Lord Jesus isn't going to come and try to get by him somehow or another and snatch him away before he gets... No. The Lord Jesus already has been raised and he's gone home to heaven and he's gone right through the ranks. All that.
And the devil had to stand by. Couldn't do it enough.
Oh, he wouldn't love it. He would love to have kept him on the cross. In fact, he didn't want him on the cross. He knew that if he got on the cross, he would bruise his head. He didn't want him there. And so he got the people energized to say, come down to the cross.
Will you believe?
Well, he didn't want him to die. Because he knew very well if he dies, it's all up with me.
But you see, he couldn't do anything about that. Because God had sent him for that express purpose, and he was going to die on the cross. Though he was just not to be able to stop him going up through the heavens. But here he is, and he didn't need a spacesuit left on his leg. Standing there amongst of all of these talking to his disciples, and all of a sudden he told him. He made the world. And he gave you and I 30 miles of space around this globe to hold us in here. And up through the ranks to the devil and his angels and his demons, and he would fly their best they could, but they had stayed by. And that was in his. Because he'll come back the same way. But he's just come into the air. And from earth to wherever he will be. You think the devil did that? Do you think you'd be able to do anything about him? Oh, my friend just stopped and said, you just pass up through that. Tonight he would try to drown us, he would try to divide us, he would try to anything to get us discouraged and so on. But the time has come, friend. Those who are saved by the grace of God are going to rise in a moment in a twinkling of an eye. I'm glad of that as well. I wouldn't want to have to say goodbye. Some I love most in death. They try to tell them. They got to get ready. Then they're going to die. Seven times. And who will be rocked from one end to the other when they hear the news that those that are saved are gone. And they're wonderful. And I believe there'll be people go that is inexpressible. And the people left behind that is not the road. Such a condition. And such wealth. Back around the foundation every once in a while. It's good. Who's coming? The Lord Jesus Christ.
Who's he coming for? Who's he coming for?
Oh, thank God he's coming for me.
He's coming for anybody else?
Well, David, thank you, come for him. He's just sitting there. Yeah, he's coming for every soul that has been born into this land. There won't be one left behind.
I remember when Mrs. Brennan was teaching us in Sunday school about coming. In fact,
he would take a handkerchief out of his pocket and he would spread it out on the table there. And then he would take a bunch of lead pins and he put them there. And then he would take from his pocket some steel pins and he put them there and he'd shake them all up. And then from his pocket he took a big pin magnet. And now he says, watch this. And he would take that magnet and go across it. Every steel pin. Lead pins have been used. Why? There was nothing to that. And the great magnet comes from heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ. Every soul is born into a family of brothers and sisters. And in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, caught him. And he could hold. I'm looking forward to that. Oh, I know when I stop and think of it again, the other side of it. It's hard for me to say, even so come Lord Jesus, even right now, but the other side, as far as I'm concerned, the sooner the better. Away from this poor, godless world, with all its heartaches, and all its trials and difficulties and all the rest of it. If you don't have them, I hope you'll never have them. But I tell you, those that have trials and troubles and tribulations, they'll be glad of the coming of the Lord. For we're not going to ask them to come just to save us from that. Nevertheless, what a moment when there'll never be another thought that's against His will. And they'll never grieve His holy heart again. And those who are saved by the grace of God will sit down in His mansions to dwell with Him for all eternity, to dwell with Him, to sing unto Him that new eternal song. What a moment that will be! Unto Him who has loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. Now, friends, would you like to go along with us? Can I see something? There's probably someone I need in. Well, you know what it is to see the coffin going down into the ground. I watched my sister's body going down into a hole. That's all it was. There was no grass. There was no artificial grass either. Going down into a grave and the clods still falling in. They just dug it. There was a body there before that. And now her. Two more to come there. As I looked into that hole, I thought to myself, how dark. How cold. How final. Yes, until the Lord raised you in every state of life. You know, I couldn't help but think. In fact, I said to the Lord, why, Lord, take her? Said it be. She was younger. She was a real blessing to the people in Venezuela, for she was a missionary. Why, Lord, the first good of you? Then I began to think, it's only a little while, and we'll be together again. So we can stay. But I want to say as I sit down, for those who are not saved, someone has gone on before, saved by the grace of God, and never see them again. And the only way that that could ever happen is if you have the same Savior they have. May God have rolled in an even life. To stop and consider, there's a wonderful day coming for the Christian. Sad day for those who are not saved.